The scripture reading is 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 18. The Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which right. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Also, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all the epistles, speaking these things in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Yes, therefore, beloved, since you know this before, at least you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever.
This evening I'm going to companion study from this morning. This morning was the simplicity of the gospel. We looked at various passages in scripture, straightforward, unequivocal, easily understood from a standpoint of the commands and the instructions that are given. The warning that was set forth not to fall according to what Eve did by being deceived. And we went back and looked at the fact that Eve understood that Adam to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that fruit was not to be partaken of. She knew that. Well, we chose not to accept what the Lord said on the matter. Rather, she listened to what Satan had to say and say, it wasn't a question of understanding. She just didn't believe that God meant what he said. So we went through and looked at it in which we see the scriptures when the gospel, the good news that was delivered to man for our salvation was given, forward nature of it, where we would recognize these truths, we can understand them, we were to apply them to our lives, and we looked at a number of aspects associated with that. But I do need to go ahead and follow that up by our difficult Bible passages. And that's not a contradiction to talk about the simplicity of the gospel and at the same time say there's some verses of scripture that are hard. They're challenging. There are matters that we have to take into account, work toward understanding, have to give some diligence in order to comprehend it correctly. And that's what we saw in this scripture reading in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them, of these things, wherein are some things hard to understand. These things that are hard to be understood. These things that are difficult, that they're challenging. And so the scriptures themselves says that Paul set forth things, according to his wisdom, that is by inspiration, that are difficult, that are hard. We think about that as we look at passages of scripture. We can go through and at times we ponder some verses. We're challenged by the understanding of what it means. We think about some of the prophetic type language. We've been going Sunday mornings in the auditorium class of the book of Revelation. Some very difficult verses there. Some things that are hard. And yet, as we consider it, that's part of the inspired writings. They're there for our learning, to be benefit we find recorded. So we see that there are difficult passages and verses that we have to acknowledge these challenging verses are there to comprehend milk and meat. And so we find the scriptures describing this. There's the milk, and the milk we think is that which is easily digested, that which we would, as comparing it with the child growing to maturity. So as newborn babes is that word that you may grow thereby in 1 Peter 2:2, the milk of that word, that simplicity of the gospel that's described, that's easily comprehended and given to us in a way so we can recognize these truths. The fundamentals, or the rudiments of his teaching and instruction that set forth. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, there's that warning that was sounded when Paul desired to write to the Corinthian brethren, and he couldn't do so to those that are mature. They were as still children. were not capable of comprehending the things that he desired to explain to them. And we'll get into the reasons why that's the case. Acknowledge the fact that there are differences in Scripture that are themselves expressly set forth using terminology and meat. So you think about meat belonging to those that are fully mature, those that are able to digest it, to consume it. And that's the point that's found over in Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. When they should have been teachers, here's you, they should have been able to take the rudimentary teachings and instructions, even those fundamentals, that which would come, and to teach it to others, they had need to be taught further those very principles, to that maturity, to partake of that solid food, to be able to discern from good and evil, to make the application in their lives. And so he's setting this forth. There's that meat that we need to be able to digest as we grow into maturity. As a babe in Christ, just as we think about an infant and eating that milk and cannot eat solid food, that's understandable. But when one gets to a point, they should take that meat, and if they're not eating solid food, we become concerned. And that's the same truth as it relates. We need to be concerned if we're not able to take solid food. But the Bible contains both. All of God's Word. We certainly can and need to, and that's precisely what you find here in the chapter of 2 Peter. When he goes on there, down there in that part of that reading, you then know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So one being led to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in that grace and knowledge. We can do that. In fact, growth is required. It's demanded. It's part of living the Christian life. As we're raised to walk in that newness of life, and that newness of life is to be observed in how we conduct ourselves. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a passage we're very familiar with, to it, and the reason why is because it's so concise in setting forth these principles that the Bible is inspired, God breathed, His will is set before us. All Scripture inspired of God is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This benefit that we can glean from it, if we go and study it and examine it and delve into it, it does all this. It corrects us, it reproves us, it gives us the instruction we need and the direction in life that we require. And so we see that as we go about taking these things, it's fully, perfectly, completely provides us with that information. It can be understood, but it's challenging. There's some parts of it that are difficult, and the challenge is placed before us. Let me take a few moments to think about the reasons why the passages are difficult. There are a number of things. I'm just giving you aspects of this. Acknowledging the fact that they are, there's also behind it reasons why that occurs. In the situation with more complex truths and issues from God's Word, some things are just more challenging in and of themselves. As God reveals matters are involving a whole lot of different facets that pertain to our lives and things associated with how we conduct ourselves, the Lord provides us with. There's an interesting verse in Deuteronomy 29:29. And it's fascinating because it starts with this God. You know, there are just some things that God knows and has, and they belong, and they're not communicated to us. And the reasons why can be multifaceted. Part of it is so God doesn't reveal it. If we needed to know, God would give it to us. Another aspect of it is that there's just some things we could not understand if God told us. You know, that's kind of a humbling reality to consider, that if God tried to describe or tell us certain things, we just couldn't fathom it. It would be beyond our ability to recognize these things in that realm. And so there are some things then that if you take those on in Deuteronomy 29, but those things that are given to us are for our learning and to be taught to our family members, our instruction to others. So there's that which is given to us that we're to take. And there's some things that belong to God, and there's some things that are difficult and more challenging as a consequence of they involve things in our lives that are going to be more matters that we're going to have to try to glean, that we're going to have to try to delve into, that are just difficult for us to fathom. Because He instructed us, gave it to us. Those things that we need to know, He provided us, and we need to recognize that there's some difficult texts. There are some challenging truths that are found in the Scripture. We grow into that knowledge, we grow into that wisdom, we're to be growing into an understanding and comprehension. Just to kind of that sometimes we need patience, which sometimes we're lacking. You know, it's difficult to be patient. We want to know everything We live in a society in which everything is to be done instantaneously. Have you ever, we live our lives from the standpoint that we sort of expect things to be done immediately? You got microwaves. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as a microwave. Then a microwave was a luxury. You sort of bought the convenience to it. Now it's considered a necessity because we become so accustomed to it that we need to have a microwave. You take the microwave, you take dinner, you take it, and in a few minutes you stick it in there and you have your full meal. You don't have to wait around in the preparation time, curricular things necessary, cooking something for several hours. You just take that, which is already pre-prepared, you stick it in the microwave, and instantaneously, almost to that extent, just a few minutes, you can sit down and you can have your meal. That's the kind of way we live our lives. We kind of think that that's the way things ought to be. And in our Bible study, we sort of have that same disposition sometimes. We want to know it now. And there's a building process. We have to first understand the fundamentals so that we can learn the next step. And over time, suddenly we realize, now I'm clear completely, or now I see it, because before I just didn't have the knowledge that preceded it, nor the point of understanding and comprehension. And if you look with me at John, the 16th chapter, when Jesus was with his apostles, instructing them about the fact that he was going to depart, he's going to be leaving them. Of course, we see his death, his burial, his resurrection, then his ascension. But he ascends to the Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit now is sent to the apostles to direct them to what they need. And in that instructions that are set forth, the encouragement that is sounded forth here, we see in verse 12, among the things Jesus said to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. They weren't for them things. Some truths or some information had not yet been provided for them that was going to be given to them at the when it was needful, when it was right, when they were able to understand it. In verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So there's going to be things that they were going to be given. In fact, as you look at the book of Acts, as things were needful to be known and understood, that's when the Holy Spirit revealed it, those matters. Now we have the complete will recorded. We can go to the Scriptures, but by the same token, we have to go through and learn certain biblical basics and then to build on that, to grow with from the milk to the meat. And so some of these words that are more meaty in substance, more that which would be the solid food, then as we go along, suddenly we can understand that more because we've dealt with issues or instructions that we previously had that enable us to, over time, build an understanding and a comprehension so that we can take that next step, go to that next level, and continue to grow spiritually, to continue to have a fuller understanding. So some verses, we just have to recognize there's complexity, aspects of the teaching that is found in God's Word, the nature of the writing, prophetic nature of writing, dramatic language, symbolic in some instances. Others, just because of the context, and you start delving into it and trying to understand something described here. Not that we can't understand baptism is essential for salvation, just like we talked about this morning. But now I have that understanding. I've been taught these truths, and I've been obedient to it. Now then I'm growing to a fuller knowledge. It's more completely in my life. Spiritual immaturity to the hearers. This can be a real problem. One reason things are difficult is because of us. You know, I've been talking about some ideas of growth and some other matters. There's some instances in which, as you read in these verses, it clearly identifies that the real culprit and the act of these individuals who are the hearers are the ones that are doing the examining of God's Word. The way in which they approach, there's just immaturity attached to it. Going back to Hebrews chapter 5, and I made a reference to Hebrews previously, these are the verses we talk about where needing the meat of the Word is described, where they are giving this rebuke, teach it, needing to go back to the very rudiments and the fundamental principles of the teaching of God's Word. They were still required, should have been at the point of having that solid food. But preceding those verses, we see what's described. The inspired writer knows some things. He says there in verse 10, talking about Melchizedek and the high priest. In verse 11, of whom we have much to say, hard to explain, since you have become of hearing. Now, the things associated with Melchizedek and the application made when you go into the accounts and that high priest, Jesus' priesthood being after the order of Melchizedek, is fascinating. It's intriguing. he's writing, he says, you know, I've already given you some information, but you know, there's more things you need to know about this, but guess what? I can't really address that right now. He goes on to talk about the fact that they still were in need of the milk rather than the meat of the word. When they should have been prepared to understand what he was going to write to before them, they weren't sufficiently prepared because they were what? Dull of hearing. They just didn't put forth the effort. They just sat back, and it was things that they just weren't prepared to grow maturity that they needed. They weren't going about learning what they should learn. And they never were getting a point where they advanced so that these things could be understood and comprehended. When we go through the type of approach to God's Word, we see that there's a building process, but it requires work. It requires effort. I get tired. I get such that I get carried around in other respects to various things going on in my life. I'm not examining these things like I should. In John chapter 6, it describes the occasion when there were those who were following Jesus. There was a multitude. He had a large number who was late, and they were then trying to locate Jesus. They wanted to be with him. And prefaces the whole point back earlier in the sixth chapter of John when he performed that miracle, a few loaves and fishes. And so they were seeking him. They were desirous of being with him. And certainly that was an impressive miracle that Jesus performed on that occasion. But as they're coming to him now, pursuing him, locating him, Jesus rebukes them for following him for the wrong reason. You want the physical things that I can give you, and you need to have the spirit. And that's kind of a summation of the whole thing that follows. And then, as you look into this, he taught them in Capernaum, in verse 29, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard understand it. Now, isn't that interesting? Here we're talking about difficult things, and here Jesus is speaking of some things. And if you look at the aspects associated with this, when he's making references to some things pertaining to the things about life, and he's giving them that which they could partake of and eat of, and as he's describing these things, it's kind of cryptic, could be. And so now they're wrestling with some elements of this, and they're listening to what he has to say. It wasn't unfathomable, but they just simply, as their desires or interests weren't quite focused or fixated on that, and they began to have these doubts and these situations. So now they're wrestling with this thing. They said, this is hard sayings. It's difficult. And then in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said, does this offend you? If you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. If the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing, the words that I speak to you are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. He went on to describe then some of these, the lack of the situation. Verse 66, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more because it was a hard saying. What was the difficulty? Well, they had a different comprehension. They were seeking something different from what the Lord was giving them was far superior to what they were desirous of having. And that could be us. You know, as we think about difficult passages, again, we're not in any way negating that that exists and challenges there. Some, in looking at these things, we reflect upon the hardness of it. But that just means we need to work toward that. We need to be constantly devoting ourselves because we have a desire to know. And that helps us then deal with these difficult passages. False teachers and doctrines led some astray. Things are hard because we have false teaching and those who teach error associated with it. And so the confusion element of it can come into play. We approach it from a standpoint of those that give us that which does not profit or benefit us in a correct understanding. If you turn with me in just a few verses of Scripture just to highlight this, because be naive is to think that there is not false teaching amongst us because it exists. And I'm not talking about the denominational out here in society as a whole, but within the body of Christ, false teaching and false teachers creep in. And we need to be vigilant in our understanding because we have many warnings about this type of situation. And so difficult passage by them to help promote certain error that they want to set before others. There's other instances of situations because we haven't devoted our own energies and time to studying properly that we're not prepared to even know when false teaching. Verse 1 of the third chapter of 2 Timothy, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captive noble women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. In verse 7, I don't have that on the PowerPoint, but verse 7 continues, always learning it, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. So here we need false teaching. And so doctrine, sometimes when somebody's been converted, they learn about the need to that plan of salvation. There's still things they haven't learned, and that's not to be unexpected. There's still growth that needs to be recognized. There's the milk of the word that needs to the teaching that's going to follow. We should expect that. But in some instances, the things that they have to unlearn before they learn the truth has to be also recognized, because they've been indoctrinated with all kinds of false doctrine and teaching. And it takes a while. And done in regard to this, showing long suffering and helping teach them and bring them to that truth. You look a little further than the fourth. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be out of season, when it's popular, when it's not. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside. False doctrine, false teachers. But the Lord made provisions. And that's what Ephesians 4 points out. Things we have need of. Now, in this first, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in verse 11, the start of this reading, those that have to deal with some offices that no longer exist, because the purpose for them was needful to bring the truth, our word. And once that was fulfilled, there was no longer any need for these apostles and prophets, individuals. But the fact, what they provided for us is still here, and it's in its written form, and we still proclaim these truths, and he's given us all things that enable us to be able to counter this false teaching or error that us. If you look at verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for building it up, to accomplish all things that are needful for the church, the local congregation, to function. We come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the full measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Remember, gullible women, using that idea that they were susceptible to this because of their disposition, rather than growing to that material, exclusive to women. What it's talking about, as children, all of us tossed to and fro. Why? Because we are not grounded in the truth. But he's made provisions. We have that truth for us. Every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, truth and love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. He talks about from whom the whole together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the love. So we're built up and straight. That word of truth that has been provided is the antidote to false teaching. The reason these difficult passages exist, in some instances, they exist because they're part of the Word that we have to grow to acknowledge, work toward, understand. Other things are because of error that gets creeping in that causes us to not have a proper understanding of verses, and we get led astray, and we need to grow to that maturity, to that fuller understanding. Let me just a few moments with you on this. How to study challenging verses. Acknowledging that they're there. We've kind of hinted, but let's do a little bit more systematic thought as it relates to this idea of these difficult passages. We've got them. They exist. We see this situation. Approach respectfully and prayerfully. See, this attitude that we have is a reverential regard for God and His Word. We're not desirous of taking it and trying to, you know, have predetermined ideas, and then we want to make the verses fit what we have a desire for, rather than going and having a proper understanding of what the Lord is revealing. So we have to respect His Word and His will. And this can be used to help illustrate that principle. I just call attention to Proverbs 9 and 10. Of course, the wise man, to that one he refers to as his son. He tells him, you know, the wisdom, the recognition of these truths being set forth. He warns about a number of things and describes what's needful in one's life to grow to understanding and maturity. But In verse 9 of the 9th chapter, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understood. So here's this attitude and disposition of fear, reverential respect and regard that enables one to come with a... And James 1:5 talks about if you lack wisdom, ask. The Lord wants us to have this understanding and appreciation. He desires this for us. So prayer is an important part of our study. Be prayerful to approach things right, reverentially, in the sense of a desire to know and to comprehend. In 2 Timothy 2:15, which ties these things, the prayerfulness, the work, the diligence associated with it, that idea of study or give diligence to show yourself approved in God, or to be ashamed, handling right the word of truth, it requires effort. And that's this idea of respectfulness. I respect God's word, so I'm going to delve. I want to have an understanding. I desire to comprehend His truths. And so part of our study, we have Bible classes here at Westside. We don't have Bible classes so that, you know, they're opposed to the Bible class arrangement. That's not why we have Bible classes. If that's the reason we have the Bible classes, we might as well shut down our Bible classes. You know, it's a teaching method. It's an effort to be able to fulfill the work that we have as a congregation of the Lord's people to proclaim His Word. And this is a good arrangement to do so at the level and understanding that various ones would have, to teach them, to instruct them properly. That's the reason Bible classes are divided up the way that they are, or set up the way that they are, as part of the work of the church at Westside. But it's not to say we're not against this type of thing, and so that's why we have them. No, we have it in order to impart the Lord's teaching and His instruction. We do so because we have a regard for His Word. We have a desire for people to understand His truths. And in that context, we have material that's put out. We have things for people to study on their own, particularly as it relates to the auditorium class. Here's things to be taken, looked at, worked upon. Why? Because we're desirous of studying, to have a knowledge, share this understanding, to be able to grow, to be able to benefit from each other. Family VBS starts tomorrow evening. That's part of the work and the effort associated with that, is to help with our learning and understanding, a respect for God's Word, a willingness to put forth the effort, prayerfully looking into this holy book, the Holy Writ. Let me notice something else here. Harmonized scriptures. This is one of the fundamental principles of God's Word. You look at some passages. 1 Corinthians 14:33 simply says in this context that God is not a God of confusion. Out there to confuse, to cause individuals to be unable to fathom. This is not the approach. Men can cause and create these kinds of confusions, but that's not from God. God doesn't put that. God desires for us to know. So He gives us the means to accomplish that. So you find Psalm 119, 160. The sum of God's word, the totality of it. You take these things and draw from various locations and various places. The reason why we understand the plan of salvation is, for example, just to illustrate the principle, is because we go to the various passages that describe what's needful for one to be saved and come to the Lord and have one's sins remitted. That terminology we use is the alien sinner, one outside of Christ. How does one become? You look at this and you take the totality of what's described and set forth there in order to understand it correctly and properly. The idea of prayer. Prayer does, how prayer is effective, how prayer is accomplished. What we need to have as it relates to being prayerful people. Those things, we take those verses that deal with the subject of prayer or any other subject or topic. You think about what Jesus did over Matthew 4, 5 through 7. Remember that Satan quoted Scripture. When he was tempting Jesus, one of the temptations, fall down and the angels come pick him up, he quoted Scripture. And those are found, that verse 5. And Jesus, of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus quoted Scripture. And said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The idea of Jesus did not take the Scripture, and in this case, have competing Scriptures. Okay, you use your Scripture, I'll use my Scripture, and so I'll take what I want out of it, you take what you want out of it. He wasn't doing that with Satan. Satan was missing and perverting it, just like in our Scripture reading at the outset when describing about twisting and perverting to their own. That's what individuals can do. But harmonization of the Scripture is to take what God's Word has to say on a matter. So what Jesus did is to harmonize the Scripture. As it related to that incident and that situation and circumstance that he found himself in. Harmonization. that requires effort to gather these various parts and to look at the things and to comprehend it. And there are instances or occasions in which somebody may have a misconception about something. Oh, this verse of Scripture tells us this. Okay, well, I have to take that into the equation. I have to understand that. My misunderstanding now is what the verse of Scripture has to say on the subject. So harmonization of the Scripture. And use trusted Bible help. Now, I'm going to be the first one to admit to you that there are some things that through the years I've wrestled with and struggled with, and I've gone and I've used various helps to give me insights. I use the learning and understanding that others that proceed looked at some matters, what they've learned and gleaned from it to help me understand and comprehend. You know, it's kind of the height of arrogance. I need others' input in order to understand some things or to be able to be benefited by it. Now, there's some qualifying to take note of momentarily, but let me just lay down the groundwork first. Bible helps is not wrong. They're good. They're this. And if we use them correctly, they can benefit us in our studies. I use Acts 8 because it's kind of going to the Scripture, since they were inspired of the Holy Spirit and guided, and you look at those ones, then you can't exactly well what we're describing, talking about these Bible helps. But there is an insight that's observable here in Acts 8. And Philip, going to the Ethiopian, as he's returning on the road, as he's been given Philip instructions to join himself there. And what transpires is this. He's reading, and the Ethiopian doesn't understand. Here's found in Isaiah 53, as we understand that. And talking and describing them, there in verses 32 and 33, sheep that's going to be slaughtered, and about these events, and he doesn't understand. Ask him, do you understand? And he says, how can I except somebody help me? And he opened up his mouth at that point, Philip, and talked to him, Jesus. Okay? So using that same principle, okay, there's some things that we have challenges with, we have to look at. There's not any helps. Now, we need to be discriminating. We need to be careful about the helps we go and draw from. And we need to visit that I have enough Bible knowledge that if somebody's starting to say things that we know can't be correct, that we can dismiss that part. That we recognize commentary of men or writings of men, individuals giving insights of their thoughts and ideas. So we don't take it at face value. We take it as it relates to the rest of God's Word. But here's a verse of Scripture, and they're saying things, and we're trying to wrestle with that. And here's somebody that offers some instruction. Preaching before an audience at a gospel meeting, be it some writing that you may have from that same gospel, between reading it versus hearing it proclaimed. If it's right and it's correct and it's according to God's Word, it's helpful for us to be able to delve into it. Some other types of materials out there, some not always from those that are members of the body of Christ and the Lord's church, because just because they're of the Lord teaching truth, you run across that too. We warned about that earlier in our study. But just because that can help us at least to some degree, but that's not the criteria that we will rely upon. If they're setting forth truths that are from God's Word, see this, and we have enough understanding, we're not going to be led astray. We need to be careful about the things we glean from the internet, the material. In fact, you can take this, and there's a lot of studies, there's good search engines. Thomas Keyes, incidentally, just as an aside, in case you were not aware of this, Thomas Keyes, when you go to our website that he set up and arranged, you go to the links, you go down the link engine that he developed, that he set forth, that's got a lot of the brethren's writings and materials there. You can type in some things you want to do a study. It'll search out the writings of the various ones that have written these things, publications, religious publications that we have, that he's put together. And you can go and you have a wealth of material and information to go and look at and read. These are helpful, beneficial. I go to that one frequently when I'm looking at some various materials. So we're discriminating. It's helpful to somebody has an insight that I didn't observe or an understanding that I'm wrestling with and said, that makes perfectly good sense. Comprehend correctly. Now, there's some other things you start looking. You have to be careful because some people interject error. That's why I say we have to be discriminating, interject error. They made some things. You can get some from secular sources. By secular, I mean non-Christians, people that write some various materials, and they have all kinds of ideas and concepts and doctrinal error, etc. And sometimes in their graphics, you have to be careful because some of the information is not correct there, so we have to be aware of, and that requires us to study and evaluate rightly. But that doesn't negate going to helpful places to get proper understanding or fuller insight. Because I freely acknowledge that I've had a goodly amount of help. Some of my best ideas come from other people. You know, You don't build this wealth of information. You glean or learn. What did the wise man say? Give you these instructions so you can have knowledge and understanding. I can impart this to you to help you understand things correctly and rightly. So there are difficult passages, but there are ways for us to comprehend it. God wants us to do it, and it's an ongoing endeavor. We have to be diligence. Has to be part of our study. Delving into it, rolling up our sleeves, and going about it continuously in order to build on the knowledge we have. So I hope and trust that this is helpful and beneficial to you, that it gives us some insights into what we need to be doing and how we need to do it. We're about to have a song of encouragement. And certainly if there are any present that need to respond to the invitation, we invite you, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.